Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
I think it's time to come together. You and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference. Make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody. We've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided. Oh yeah.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, January 31st, 2024. And a brief recap of the announcements. Shall we? To start the second hour, the quilt raffle is coming to an end today. Make a donation of $250 or more for your chance to win a fabulous package, including the Confederate battle flag quilt, RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards, and bumper stickers. Call 800-724-2719, extension 3. You can support the network a number of other ways. Call or check out the website for details. This is a listener-supported network. Thank you for your support. And if you haven't or haven't lately, please consider supporting the network. You are RBN. So your support of our sponsors and advertisers and direct contributions to the network are all extremely valuable and greatly appreciated. If you're on social media, check out the Republic Broadcasting Facebook page. And that's it for the moment. Back into the horror of the messing with your head stuff. And we'll go to the phones in a second here. Couple minutes. So I'm looking at the NPR article published yesterday, what to know about Elon Musk's Neuralink, which put an implant into a human brain. And Elon Musk tweeted about this a couple of days ago. I guess, whatever you call it now, he posted, "The first human received an implant from Neuralink yesterday and is recovering well. Initial results show promising neuron spike detection." And so the NPR article reads, "The news comes months after Neuralink began recruiting potential human test subjects for its clinical trial." Again, you know, if Anthony Fauci, going back to March, April, May of 2020, if Anthony Fauci thinks it's a good idea to test mRNA technology on people, why doesn't he do it first? Him and Francis Collins and Bill Gates and all those guys. Robert Cadillac, all you guys. Show us how fantastic it is. So Elon, if it's fantastic technology, man, it would be great if you would do it first. That would do a lot for consumer confidence, as they say in marketing circles. The news comes months after Neuralink began recruiting potential human test subjects for its clinical trial. Actually, we should probably stop and play the horrifying video. Neuralink's clinical trial, the PRIME study. PRIME. Precise robotically. Okay, PR. Implanted brain-computer interface. You know, it's funny how they sort of sandwich that together in PRIME. Can we play the video, please?
Hello. We're thrilled to introduce Neuralink's PRIME study, the first clinical trial of a groundbreaking experimental device that could help transform the lives of people with paralysis. Imagine the joy of connecting with your loved ones, browsing the web, or even playing games using only your thoughts. This is made possible by placing a small, cosmetically invisible implant in a part of your brain that plans movements. The device is designed to interpret your neural activity so you can operate a computer or a smartphone by simply thinking about moving. No wires or physical movement are required. By participating in the PRIME study, you'd be helping to redefine the boundaries of human capability. If you've been living with quadriplegia from a spinal cord injury or with ALS, you may qualify for the PRIME study. We'd love to share more with you and get you on board. Visit our website today to learn more and to submit your application. We'll be supporting you with a dedicated team at every step on this revolutionary journey. Your courage and contribution could significantly shape the future of interaction and independence, not just for you, but for countless others.
Okay, creepy. I don't know about you, but creepy. I mean, creepy is the word. So back to the NPR article quickly. The company got FDA approval for the trial last May, saying it wanted to enlist people ages 22 and above who are living with quadriplegia due to spinal cord injury or ALS. The disease that robs people of the ability to control their bodies. I like how the NPR article, it's probably just a, you know, press release. Wasn't it W.T. Stead who pioneered the concept of the press release, I think? Anyway. So, Neuralink said it has called for volunteers. Neuralink says its implant procedure employs custom-made microscopic needles. As the company said last October on X, the tip is only 10 to 12 microns in width, only slightly larger than the diameter of a red blood cell. The small size allows threads to be inserted with minimal damage to the cortex. Yeah. Neuralink has been controversial. I'll go down to that in a second. But where is the... So, article says Elon's post. The person who wasn't identified is recovering well, Musk said via X, formerly known as Twitter. My translation? Trust me, it's going really, really well. And again, from the article, as he announced the human implant surgery, Musk said his company's implant product would be called telepathy. Telepathy. We'll come back to that. Neuralink has been looking for volunteers recruiting potential human test subjects. Yeah. So let's see. First the danger, then the telepathy thing, I guess. Neuralink, from the NPR article, Neuralink has been controversial. Neuralink has previously faced controversy due to accusations about how it conducts its research and how Musk portrays that work. Reports emerged in 2022 and 2023 alleging that the company's practices had debilitating effects on monkeys and other animals used in testing, including an allegation that as many as 12 monkeys were euthanized as part of its research. In response to such allegations, Musk said last October, no monkey has died as a result of a Neuralink implant, which sort of reminds me of, again, you know, Cedric the Entertainer responding to Cat Williams' allegations, saying, you know, I don't know that Cat Williams ever had a space shuttle joke. Space shuttle joke is my joke. Right, but you borrowed the guts of the space shuttle joke from Cat Williams. Anyway, no monkey died as a result of Neuralink implant, adding that in early tests to minimize risk to healthy monkeys, we chose terminal monkeys, close to death already. All right, so there's a link in this section of the article to the Wired magazine article that was published last September, which was actually before, you know, a couple months before the video that we just played, that clip, 90 seconds, was published. That was published November 21, 2023 by Neuralink, the Neuralink YouTube channel. So the Wired magazine article is titled "The Gruesome Story of How Neuralink's Monkeys Actually Died." Subhead, Elon Musk says no primates died as a result of Neuralink's implants. A Wired investigation now reveals the grisly specifics of their deaths, as U.S. authorities have been asked to investigate Musk's claims. But apparently, none of this matters, and all that matters is money. Because just a few short months later, and all is proceeding according to plan, dear comrades, apparently. So from the article, I'll just give you some of the specifics here. Within a year of its reported founding in March 2017, Neuralink acquired a large number of animal subjects to test its brain chip implants. From September 2017 until late 2020, the company's experiments were aided by the staff of California National Primate Research Center, CNPRC, federally funded bioresearch facility at UC Davis. Musk's promise was to revolutionize prostheses and engineer an implant that would allow human brains to communicate wirelessly with artificial devices. And, you know, this stuff's been going on for a long, long time. The effort to, you know, rewire our brains. The relentless effort. Billions and billions and billions. Countless. Anyway, UC Davis veterinary records cited by the Physicians Committee, which Wired also obtained through a subsequent California public records request, chronicle a battery of complications that developed following procedures involving electrodes being surgically implanted into monkeys' brains. The complications included bloody diarrhea, partial paralysis, and cerebral edema, a condition colloquially known as brain swelling. I'm just going to say, if you are squeamish, maybe this is the part to take a break, grab some coffee. For example, in an experimental surgery that took place in December 2019, this is not that long ago, performed to determine the survivability of an implant, an internal part of the device broke off, quote unquote, while being implanted. Overnight, researchers observed the monkey, identified only as Animal 20 by UC Davis, scratching at the surgical site, which emitted a bloody discharge, and yanking on a connector that eventually dislodged part of the device. A surgery to repair the issue was carried out the following day, yet fungal and bacterial infections took root. Vet records note that neither infection was likely to be cleared, in part because the implant was covering the infected area. The monkey was euthanized on January 6, 2020. That's the following month. Additional veterinary reports show the condition of a female monkey called Animal 15. During the months leading up to her death in March 2019, Days after her implant surgery, she began to press her head against the floor for no apparent reason, a symptom of pain or infection, the records say. And I think maybe here I should include Julie's remark. So, you know, when we're playing the video, you can control devices with your mind. So she says, so will your body move or just your mind? And that's, I think, you know, we're being cynical here, but listen to the article with that in mind. Staff observed that though Animal 15 was uncomfortable picking and pulling at her implant until it bled, she would often lie at the foot of her cage and spend time holding hands with her roommate. Animal 15 began to lose coordination, and staff observed that she would shake uncontrollably when she saw lab workers. Her condition deteriorated for months until the staff finally euthanized her. A necropsy report indicates that she had bleeding in her brain and that the Neuralink implants left parts of her cerebral cortex focally tattered, quote unquote, which my understanding means, limited to the, confined to the area probably near the implant. Anyway, I'm no doctor. I don't even play one on TV. Yet another monkey, Animal 22, was euthanized in March 2020 after his cranial implant became loose. This reminds me, you know, I've talked about what's his name? John Christopher's Tripod Series. Remember reading that when I was in about sixth grade, I think, and it was horrifying. But this is, you know, straight out of those novels and others like it. Anyway, yet another monkey, Animal 22, was euthanized in March 2020 after his cranial implant became loose. Necropsy report revealed that two of the screws securing the implant to the skull loosened to the extent that they, quote, could easily be lifted out, end quote. The necropsy for Animal 22 clearly states that, quote, the failure of this implant can be considered purely mechanical and not exacerbated by infection, end quote. If true, this would appear to directly contradict Musk's statement that no monkeys died as a result of Neuralink's chips. Shown a copy of Musk's remarks on X about Neuralink's animal subjects being, quote, close to death already, end quote, a former Neuralink employee alleges to Wired that the claim is ridiculous, quote unquote, if not a straight fabrication. We had these monkeys for a year or so before any surgery was performed, which the article seems to validate. I mentioned, you know, 2017, immediately they get, anyway, continuing. The ex-employee who requested anonymity for fear of retaliation says that up to a year's worth of behavioral training was necessary for the program. Now, I know I don't need to say this. You're paying attention. You listen to RBN. But think about that. The ex-employee who requested anonymity for fear of retaliation says that up to a year's worth of behavioral training was necessary for the program. So you probably can sense where I'm going here. What about the human test subjects? Trial subject, clinical trial. Do they need a year's worth of behavioral training? And how is that? How does that work? What is the screening process for that? I digress. Anyway. Up to a year's worth of behavioral training was necessary for the program, a time frame that would exempt subjects already close to death. So that seems to debunk that line of nonsense. A doctoral candidate currently conducting research at the CNPRC granted anonymity due to fear of professional retaliation. Likewise, questions Musk's claim regarding the baseline health of Neuralink's monkeys. Quote, these are pretty young monkeys. They tell Wired, it's hard to imagine these monkeys who were not adults were terminal for some reason. So, I'll leave it there, but I don't know about you. It's so horrifying, it makes me sweat. And the prospect of these things being stuck in people, there's a myriad, an endless host of reasons. I mentioned Kurzweil's, excerpt from The Age of Spiritual Machines. There is the telepathy aspect. Maybe I'll touch on that before we go to the phones. But I mean, I'm thinking the background of this stuff, rushing to Revelation 13. No man may buy or, and he causeth all to receive a mark, that no man may buy or sell, lest he receive the mark. When John in Tennessee, and I would talk about this on air, as you perhaps recall, he would say, I'm not taking it. And I would say, when I read he causeth, I don't see where it's optional or elective. So, reminds me of going back. I mean, there's the, stuff all the way back to the way back stuff, trying to do this. But, more recently, there was the 2004 FDA approval for this kind of, implantable radio frequency transponder system for patient identification and healthcare information. Everybody said, oh, that's just for, pacemakers and things like that. No, Virginia, that's not true, because back in 2009, when Verichip was boasting about their patent license win, the Reuters headline, Verichip Corporation and Receptors LLC to develop sensor systems to detect biological threats, they cited that whatever you call it, FDA guidance. This is, we can do this because, FDA already approved it back in 2004. So an implantable chip back in 2009 as a result of the H1N1 shenanigans, and then, Verichip and whatchamacallit merged Steel Vault and I forget what the name of the company was. Positive ID, that's what it was. And, we come forward. There's just this relentless push to do this. Every time there's, there's Scott Klosowski's remark. I know it's difficult for some people, but, we're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. Why the endless push to do this? It's a rhetorical question, obviously, despite the fact that the technology is clearly problematic, at least from the Wired magazine investigation. So, it's horrifying. Telepathy. Elon says it's going to be called telepathy. The first Neuralink product is called telepathy. That's what he tweeted. This is a real next level. And that's been a couple of times. Anyway, so about telepathy real quick. From Wikipedia. Let's do that real fast, shall we? And then telepathy and schizotypy. So telepathy, as I mentioned yesterday, is problematic. from the Wikipedia entry, the term was first coined in 1882 by... So this is because Elon says the first Neuralink product is called telepathy. Right from the horse's mouth. Brzezinski would probably call this a neologism. The term was first coined in 1882 by the classical scholar Frederick W. H. Myers, a founder of the Society for Psychical Research. What were those guys doing? And has remained more popular than the earlier expression, thought transference. Well, that's weird. Telepathy experiments have historically been criticized for lack of proper controls and repeatability. There is no good evidence that telepathy exists, and the topic is generally considered by the scientific community to be pseudoscience. There's more, but let's just skip down to, you know, it's a lot of woo stuff. And there are a lot of creepy types involved, you know, from the theosophical contingent to men who stare at goats and everywhere in between. People who, you know, the cybernetic contingent. Everybody coalesces somewhere around, if we could just read people's thoughts and maybe control them. Anyway, under the section titled Psychiatry, the notion of telepathy is not dissimilar to three clinical concepts: delusions of thought, insertion removal, and thought broadcasting. Delusions of thought insertion, thought removal, and thought broadcasting. This similarity might explain how an individual, listen carefully to this, and this is what Elon says, this is the first product, Neuralink product, is called telepathy. This similarity might explain how an individual might come to the conclusion that he or she were experiencing telepathy. Thought insertion or removal is a symptom of psychosis, particularly of schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, or substance-induced psychosis. Psychiatric patients who experience this symptom falsely believe that some of their thoughts are not their own, and that others, for example, other people, aliens, demons, or fallen angels, or conspiring intelligence agencies or artificial intelligences, are putting thoughts into their minds. Thought insertion. Some patients feel as though, as if thoughts are being taken out of their minds or deleted. Again, back to Kurzweil. Bypassing certain regions of the brain, including visual pattern recognition, long-term memory. Why would someone think this? Are you putting two and two together here? Some patients feel as though, as if thoughts are being taken out of their minds or deleted. Thought removal. Schizophrenic patients, like maybe I should just read what Kurzweil said. Direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. This allows bypassing certain neural regions, for example, visual pattern recognition, long-term memory, and augmenting or replacing these functions of the function of these regions with computing performed either in a neural implant or externally. That was his prediction for 2029, Kurzweil. Schizophrenic patients suffering from the form of alleged telepathy known as thought broadcasting believe that their private thoughts are being broadcast to other people against their informed consent. Along with other symptoms of psychosis, delusions of thought insertion may be reduced by antipsychotic medication. There you go. It reminds you of that drug, you know, which one is it? This drug is causing this problem, but that's okay. We have a drug for those problems. I'll finish that and we'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Gerard Hartman says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS. This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, you know, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
To wrap it up and go to the phones, psychiatrist, this is the telepathy Wikipedia entry. Psychiatrists, well, let's see, schizophrenic patients suffer from the form of alleged telepathy known as thought broadcasting, believe that their thoughts, their private thoughts, are being broadcast to other people against their informed consent. Again, exactly what Kurzweil foreshadowed. along with other symptoms of psychosis, delusions of thought, insertion may be reduced to by antipsychotic medication. Like I said, making the problem worse. Psychiatrists and clinical psychologists believe, and empirical findings support, wink, wink, the idea that people with schizotypy and schizotypal personality disorder are particularly likely to believe in telepathy. Schizotypy. From Wikipedia, in psychology, schizotypy is a theoretical concept that posits a continuum of personality characteristics and experiences ranging from normal dissociative imaginative states to extreme states of mind related to psychosis, especially schizophrenia. The continuum of personality proposed in schizotypy is in contrast to a categorical view of psychosis, wherein psychosis is considered a particular, usually pathological state of mind, which the person either has or does not have. So this is, if I didn't know better, I would call it sort of a dialectical continuum where you're colliding ideas together on the ends of the spectrum to move someone along the spectrum. A couple other things real quick. Let's see. Relationship to other personality traits and socio-demographics. Relationships between schizotypy and the temperament or character inventory has also been examined. Self-transcendence. That's funny. The metaphysicians and, you know, Hindus, Buddhists, Gnostics, Kabbalists, Theosophists, they all talk about this. Self-transcendence, a trait associated with openness to spiritual ideas and experiences, you know, Aldous Huxley would be proud, has moderate positive association with schizotypy, particularly with unusual experiences, etc., etc., personality disorders, on down to, let's see, how about this section, abnormalities of arousal. Talked about the sex cult stuff lately. It's funny how these concepts collide, you know, like the Darwinian evolution nonsense is a religion, so is the Freudian nonsense a religion, and these things are converging. It's pseudoscience cast as science in order to lure people into these shenanigans. So you can read the section abnormalities of arousal, dissociation of different arousal systems, hyperarousal, etc., etc. See also apophenia, apparitional experience, hallucinations, schizoaffective disorder, transliminality. You know, so I've talked about liminal warfare. There's the stuff going on over at Meta. You know, what if we could all just put on the HoloLens and, like, you know, hang out in the metaverse, things would be cool. We're colliding ends of the spectrum together in dialectical fashion. And then you have all the people that who would want to do this? You've heard all about that on this network, you know, Regina Dugan, you can type with your brain or your skin. Havana syndrome comes to mind. Nita K. Farani's nonsense. You know, the clips of Yuval Noah Harari, Klaus Schwab's January 10, 2016 French interview. Yeah, no, we're going to put chips in our brains. It's going to be great. Sergey Brin saying the same thing when he's confronted by Klaus Schwab back in 2018. Yeah, but Sergey, can we put chips in our brains? Yeah, I guess, but all that stuff. Why? Ask yourself why. It's horrifying. Anyway, to the phones we go. Lynn in Maryland, thanks for calling. Thanks for your patience. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. isn't what I was going to start with, but
it's horrifying,
you know, in the Bible,
isn't it?
In Revelation 13, where it talks about, you know, and he, the beast, causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. But that doesn't kill you. That'll get you in the lake of fire and your name out of the book of life. But worshiping the image of the beast, that causes death if you refuse. So, yeah, it causes, but, you know, the effect, one is you can't buy or sell. The other is your head lopped off or something. Either of them is, your name's written out of the book of life and eternity in the lake of fire, and those two things are not able to be repented of. And people have lied about that. And what's brought up by preachers is always the thing about the mark, but never worshiping the image. And I've told people now for 5 years or so that they're running VR in the background of all browser screens, every phone screen, every internet screen, every browser. You look at whatever's running back there is running back there. And in fact, when I talked to you last week, I actually thought of this verse in the Psalms. Wait a minute, let me find it. I got fingers, my right hand is in a book, which is what I wanted to share with you, but, and it actually, oh, we darn. I'll share that in a minute. Let me share this first. Farahany, Nita Farahany's book.
Farahany? Nita Farahany?
H-A-N-Y.
Yeah, it's Farahany.
Farahany?
Yeah, it's Farahany.
Duke University. Okay, last weekend, TED Talk radio was about brain hacks and her whole thing. Remember the book I told you last year about the battle for your brain?
Yeah, we talked about it.
She comes to it by defending your right for cognitive liberty, but there's so much in the book. Elon Musk's partner in Neuralink actually left the company. And he had already developed Synchron, C-Y-N-C-H-R-O-N, and they already had a BCI implant. And they've been doing technology on veterans and people for decades. Does Aaron Alexis come to mind? And, like, quadriplegia would be bad, but the whole thing with keyboards and all that, that's been going on in VA hospitals for a very long time. Remember the Converging Technology study that was begun in 2000, and it's a who's who when it comes to names if you just look it up.
Yeah.
It's another one of those little .gov things that aren't really part of the government, National Science Foundation, NSF.gov. It's Emerging Technologies for Enhancing Human Performance was the name of the final report of the study that was supposed to last 20 years. It was done in 10, and I believe the final report was published in 2011. You can find it there or on the GPO.gov website. And it all had to do with this little, you know, transhumanism thing. Speaking of which, let me read you a paragraph that's like two sentences. Transhumanists believe technology can and should be used to enable human beings to transcend our physical and mental limitations, from communicating directly from our brains to acquiring new senses or new ways of interacting with the world. Transhumanists see neurotechnology as a gateway to human evolution. BCI that is designed to restore our senses may soon be used to expand our senses, too. We can be as God.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, let me find this thing. Give me 1 second.
Nita Farahany is a cozy World Economic Forum bedfellow. She's, you know, one of the people that's talked about the Brain Initiative. And, you know, it's the same old lie. That's why I started with Nesta Webster's World Revolution. Like you said, we can be as gods. And she's one of the people that talks about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And we should have thought freedom, cognitive liberty, they call it. But what we should be remembering that Nesta Webster reminds us.
Hold on.
What we should be remembering that Nesta Webster reminds us is that these people who come along, it's the same deal, which is why I mentioned pattern recognition, visual pattern recognition, and long-term memory. If we apply those two things, Kurzweil says, can be replaced, augmented, or replaced, we will remember the same people that come with the same lie promise, in this case, cognitive liberty, only to sell us into bondage and slavery every single time, without exception.
Of course, because it's like you want to protect your liberty, but it's okay, sign on, you know, check the box so that I can have your data. And it's always sold for good for those who aren't healthy or have a physical limitation or whatever to be good for us. Is it end of First or Second Timothy comes to mind, science falsely so called. Mm-hmm. But in Psalm 97, well, first I have to say, the heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. But here it is. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods, with a little g. And who are gods and who are idols? And who are we bowing down to when the technology exists that is already quite capable of reading our EEG, our brain waves, and our brains all fire pretty much the same? You know, you can get into having a chip and playing, you know, biofeedback stuff. But the other piece of it is, it's like telling a lie. You can beat a regular lie detector machine. You can't beat this technology. And this technology is dangerous, and I do not know why anybody agrees to participate in it.
Just like the voting stuff. Just like the voting stuff. Just like the voting stuff. Lynn, hold on. Lynn, just like the voting technology, any of this technology can be gamed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, where it is, it can be gamed, period. And this, you know, the alleged, you know, whatever, the EKG, the monitoring, all of that, it can be gamed, period. And so we immediately jump back to Minority Report and, you know, Enemy of the State and The Net and all of those predictive programming movies and books and so on that told us technology can be gamed.
So we have to be careful what we agree to and what we submit to, because once you start down that slippery slope, where is it going to end?
If you're which is why I have said to start the year, no compromise, period. We have to understand our own hypocrisy and double-mindedness. Mm-hmm. No compromise.
Yeah. Yep. I appreciate you, Chris. If anybody doesn't have the internet for that TED Talk, and it wasn't just Farah Haney. It starts out with her and her story.
It's Nita
but
Farahani.
But it actually ends with the doctor and
it's pronounced
Farahani. Patients.
It's pronounced Farahani. Anyway, so you're talking about the 2018 TED Talk, when technology can read minds, how we will protect our privacy, that one?
No, well, I don't know. It aired on NPR this past Saturday is when I heard.
Okay. Maybe it's a different one, but I know that's
it's
one that she did.
About brain hacks.
Yeah, that's...
And risks.
She always talks
but
about that.
But it goes into treating different neurological diseases. There's a neuroscientist on there, or a neurosurgeon. So, but remember, they've been doing this stuff for a very long time, long before what they're telling us.
nigh on 100 years.
My husband was quadriplegic. I can promise you that they've been doing this a long time. We were in VA hospitals.
Yep.
And I would have the smartest house on the planet, so he'd be having a real tough time since there is no wireless in my house.
Yeah.
No cell phones. No screens.
All right. We got other calls we got to get
okay,
to.
Thank
Lynn,
you, Chris.
All much right, appreciated, bye-bye. As always. And, you know, this reminds me of yesterday. James in Vancouver was on with Richard Carey, and I suggested some things, you know, hey, can James comment about this? One of the things, you know, James mentioned Max von Laue, and you can jump on Wikipedia even and see that von Laue was working on wireless communications for military application as early as 1916. Anyway. Fun stuff. Back to the phones. Tom in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Tom.
I don't know if you see. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Tom. Go.
Yeah, can you hear me all right? I don't know about this.
We're going to move on if you ask that question again. Go, Tom. We're running out of time.
Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
All right, moving on.
Sure, we got a good connection.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
No,
Ken in
no.
Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, the evolution thing is kind of interesting because there's a fallacy of equivocation there, because improving evolution can't be done externally if evolution theory is correct. You know, it comes from within. So just thought I'd mention that. But I'm starting to wonder if the this chip stuff is just all a soft sell for getting people disarmed for the fact that RF control or wireless has already been in place for decades. In fact, Dr. Ross Adie, I think it's Adie, could be Adie, A-D-D-E-Y, of Loma Linda VA Hospital in California, used the Russian LIDA machine, L-I-D-A, for PTSD treatment on veterans, and with that, using parts from, you know, Radio Shack, you could build a device that could beam stuff into your head directly. And so
that reminds me of Havana Syndrome, Woodpecker, and
yes, the woodpecker.
You know, speaking of all of that, back to Jose Delgado. I mean, he said that, you know, that with waves, you know, they could do it without implants.
Electrodes, right?
Yeah,
it's funny you should bring that up, because I just mentioned that on Travis's show last Friday night. He wrote the book, Towards a Psycho-Civilized Society, Physical Control of the Brain. And, you know, he was the guy who was famous for stopping the charging bull, you know, with the press of a button on a wireless device. But I also want to, I can't remember this guy's name. I wasn't prepared for this call, but it's M. Scott Peck, or could have been Beck. I don't remember. But he was analyzing these brain, this function, how do I say this, the responses from this little girl who was flatlined, you know, in other words, brain dead, but yet was doing physical things, flailing her arms around and making grotesque images with their face. And I don't know if you've ever read that book or not, where he talks about that, but so obviously there's...
The Road Less Traveled?
I don't think that's it. I'll find out what it is, and next time I call in, I'll let you know, but...
People of the Lie and the Road Less Traveled are the two M. Scott Peck books that get kicked around typically.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that right now. Drain Bamminger, I can't remember. But he was horrified by the images he saw on her face. And he said he looked in the mirror and he tried to reproduce those things that she was doing. Well, she was flatlined, you know, on the electroencephalograph. Which, you know, the only conclusion one can come to there is that they're being controlled by, you know, a demonic force.
Yeah. I would, by the way, just fun fact, I would chalk M. Scott Peck up to suspicious death category. I'd throw him in there for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, that too. But anyhow, I'll let other people chime in. So thanks for what you do, Chris, and I'll get back to listening.
Thank you, Ken. Bye. Much appreciated, as always. Yeah, there's so much evidence and no compromise. No compromise. You know, I do hope and pray that we get to the point where we can confront our hypocrisy. I've mentioned some of the soft, kind of low-hanging fruit when it comes to no compromise and our hypocrisy. Things like the Pledge of Allegiance. It really rubs me the wrong way. What are you, a commie? No, actually, the Pledge of Allegiance was given to us by commies. And as good Americans, we do that at every major patriotic event. Maybe that's why, you know, I mean, Dorothy Thompson was married to Sinclair Lewis, right? For a time. And so no wonder, I think it was Sinclair Lewis who was one of the people who famously observed, when fascism comes to America, to be wrapped in a flag carrying a cross. You know, she had her controversy over Zionism, basically saying, you know, even though it's political or career suicide, I'm coming to the conclusion that Zionism is a recipe for perpetual war. And what country can sustain that indefinitely? And here we are. We've forgotten about Dorothy Thompson, forgotten these lessons. We still say the Pledge of Allegiance. Might as well do the Bellamy salute while we do it. And where is the war now? We're being sold a bag of nonsense, despite the Wired Magazine article that I read from today that tells us clearly this is not a good thing. Apparently, there are human clinical trial patients or participants or whatever who are not named conveniently. Hopefully it wasn't, you know, against their will or whatever. Anyway, you get the point. We're there. We're standing on the brink, staying at the brink. And guys like Klaus Schwab and Ray Kurzweil and all these ne'er-do-wells have been trying to soft-pedal this stuff for decades. But we're here. They also have said that they want cell phones to go away. Remember that? How will we communicate if they're trying to stick cell phones in our brains? Just saying. I hope it wasn't too disturbing or upsetting. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. Please pray for one another and support the network. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.